It's time for the One Piece Manga Bros podcast, and this week we are diving into the second half of Water 7, to be specific, chapter 347, to the end. We're talking about it all, and oh, let me tell you, we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion involving a little arc I call Whole Cake Island. That's just what it's called. I don't call it that. Boys, how y'all doing?
Good, man. How are you doing?
I'm excited.
I'm just glad I'm in Whole Cake by the time we're actually recording this. That way, because I know what part you're probably going to bring up. So now I get to take part in that conversation.
I know. We don't have to make you pull your earbuds out anymore.
Yeah. Like, I'm a big boy now. So it's like, you know, it feels good. It feels good to finally, like, I'm a part of the team as opposed to, like, you know, just having to wait at the bus stop for my parents to pick me up.
I know. And if I can just get, you know, the two of y'all to Wano, then I could stop losing my goddamn mind.
You're watching like 30 episodes a day, though. Like, that's not even fair at this point. That's like going to Usain Bolt and being like, hey, why can't you run as fast as me?
It's like 10 a week. That's not that bad.
That's a lot. You're doing way more than 10 a week. What do you
mean? You're doing 5 a day right now. What do you want from me?
I'm addicted to bleach.
That's like 35 a week. Cody.
I'm just trying to do five a day, keeps the doctor away. Okay, I'm here with gusto. What do you want from me?
This is what happens because I talk trash and I was like, I'm going to pass you. And I was only like 15 behind him.
You were.
And so, like, he just, like, docked the gas. And I was just like, you know what? I'm not even going to.
I mean,
I'm going to go at my own pace.
I'm at like 860 now. Okay. Like,
I was at like 802 and you were at like 820.
My next episode is 990, so I don't want to hear it.
I'm at 809, and he's at 860 now.
I'm 10 away from 1,000, bitch.
That's
that's insane, dude.
That's insane.
It's kind of crazy how many episodes One Piece has as a whole. But don't worry, we're not talking about Wano. We're talking about Water 7 today. Although, if you do want to hear the spoiler-filled discussion, make sure you're at least through Whole Cake Island. We're going to be talking a little bit about that, just because some stuff happened in this arc that I feel like is just good to talk about. And it's hot on Boom's trail. That's where he is, you know, right now. So go check out our individual channels if you want to see some One Piece reaction content. I'm in Wano, Boom's in Whole Cake, and Sione may or may not be posting some stuff on his individual channel and on the Patreon and YouTube members on Nino Anime. So thank you for your support, and get the podcast early. We've been barreling through this, I feel like, which has honestly been really fun. Like, we've been recording way more frequently, which has been a blast, opposed to just kind of guesstimating. But you're stuck with the three of us, so no guests today. But we will have a guest for next arc, Enies Lobby. But let's just get into this, dude. The opening of the second half of the CP9 reveal, still to this day, I think is one of the greatest reveals in the freaking series, dude.
Yes, I remember even in the, and it felt just as powerful. Like, I know we talk about it a lot, right? Where since we watched the anime first, we were so far ahead in the anime, it's like easy to compare the two. And a lot of times, like, these things, I feel like, have more emotional weight in the anime, because we've talked about before, just the music and like so many underlying factors that can lift the anime above the manga can happen. But this one still felt just as heavy. Like, even you know it's coming, it still felt just as good, because, like, I don't know, there was still like that excitement of like, knowing like Iceberg's going to be shocked, how everybody's going to like flip out in the manga when we finally got to see it, right?
It was interesting for me too, for like knowing that they were who they were, because I paid way more attention when they
everything
were on
screen. Before.
And like the idea of how nonchalant the Bluno introduction was. That, like, even if you
the bartender?
Yeah, even if you suspected, like, Lucci or any of them, you know what I mean? You're like, yo, the secretary kind of powerful. What's up with that? You know, even if you did feel that way, nobody was suspecting Bluno. There's no way. If you think you suspected Bluno, you lying.
They did a good job, though, of setting up the Galley Law people to all be powerful, like, from the get-go, right? Because that pirate didn't want to pay at the start of Water 7. And they beat the ever loving crap out of him.
Yeah, 30 something.
So, like, you realize it could be anyone. So, like, there wasn't like, oh, that's got to be Kaku, because, like, he's the strongest one here, obviously, or Lucci, or so on and so on. And that's like, you know, Bluno's character, he had like that, like, polka dot, like, Afghan or scarf or whatever it was, like draped over his shoulder. So like I kept going like back like to like the bar scene and stuff like that and flipping through and like seeing if like he wore something that he was wearing there that actually could have given it away.
Same. I couldn't find anything.
Like they did a good job of hiding it.
I mean, just like the only hint like, really pure was reveal. Just that like Granny Kokoro, like bringing up like the whole CP9 thing in front of him was like, and he's just like, oh, I don't know anything about it. I feel like that was literally the only kind of hint at it. Other than that, he's just a normal bartender in the city.
Yep.
You know, like.
It also felt like this was the, I know we have had a lot of discussions about how shitty the world government is and how much they hammer it home, right? But I feel like, and obviously, you know, we're not going to discuss how that changes or doesn't change in the future, but this, I feel like, was the biggest moment where it wasn't, oh, these are just some rogue Marines, right? This is not Axe Hand Morgan, who everybody's afraid of him and he's just abusing his power. This is very clearly like, nah, the world government fucks and we will kill anybody that gets in our way. And I don't give a fuck what you say or what you do because we say it's justice. And
that they are actually sanctioned violence, right? Like you said, like Morgan was just like someone who was drunk on his own power and acting out of turn and so on. But like these people specifically, like this is their job to be this violent and to be like this. And like, I do appreciate, like, they kind of go into like their own, and this is in Innie's lobby later on where they do go into like their own, like reasons why they're part of CP9. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, from the world's government perspective, they're just like, yeah, they are very much the means to an end group where it's like, if we got to send someone in to actually kill them, then like, oh, well, like that.
Just, have fun. Bye-bye.
Don't leave a mess. Like, if you can help it, like, throw them away after you're done. Yeah, like,
complete your objective, though. If you don't complete your objective, you're an issue. But you complete the objective, we don't care about the rest.
Yeah.
It's such a turning point, too, though. Like, I didn't realize there's so many moments in this arc. Like, you know, obviously we had an entire discussion about part one, you know, so if you want to hear more about our thoughts on, you know, Luffy versus Usopp, go check out that episode. But just thinking about the amount of stuff that happened in this 50 or so chapters and how seamlessly it transitions into the next arc, this really is, I think, like peak One Piece, like One Piece in its prime. And I've been very vocal about, and I think we all have, about how we've all kind of liked One Piece from the beginning, right? We're not those people like, oh, it doesn't get good till 300 episodes in.
But
I get why people say that, I guess, because this arc is such a step above everything else we've seen so far. Right. It's just mental.
Well, it's like you said, too. It's the seamlessness of it all where, you know, even from like being in Water 7 itself to transitioning to being on the train and all those scenes and everything like that. And then eventually transitioning to being on the train to being actually at Innie's lobby. Mm-hmm. You know, this is like probably out of any other saga where it feels like one long story.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, OK, here is the dead stop. Here is the dead stop. And these are very much separated things. Whereas, like, this was the first one, and it kind of surprised me at the time, too, where I was shocked that they were actually considered different arcs.
Yeah.
Because it felt so cohesive at the time. And, like, I mean, that's not taking away anything else from anything, like, all the other arcs or sagas or anything like that, because, like, this one's not even really my favorite, but it's, like, very much that first one where it's, like, yeah, like, the storytelling in this is, like, such a cut above so many other things that... Well, it became where like the storytelling was like went from great to just like impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. No, I agree 100%. And we get so many good moments as a whole, like the Usopp moments. You know, his interaction with Franky and the conversations about the Merry and like that whole scene was so hard to watch because you could see how much it was eating Usopp inside, but he just felt like he had to do it. Like, he's just like, that is our crew. I know that it's done. I'm aware. I've known, but I just can't. Yeah. I can't let go. Like it's almost like a part of him, you know.
Yeah, it's one of these things, and I keep going through my notes because like a lot of times I usually put like a lot of panels and stuff like that too, but like so many of these were I don't know. It's like. I feel like the Tom flashbacks and stuff like that are also some of my favorites at this point because it created such like talking about Franky. I was trying to segue with that. It it created like I don't know, like we were always so sad with the characters and mm-hmm. stuff like that, because like it was nice finally kind of seeing like one of our characters, one of the people that we get to know better, mm-hmm. actually like seeing like they had kind of a decent childhood for a long while before, you know, everything kind of got taken away from them. Mm-hmm. And like, that's why it's like the Tom stuff is still probably, for me, it's probably like top five flashback, just because like,
it is one of the best.
It gives not only like Frankie's backstory, but I mean like Iceberg's as well. Mm-hmm. Like the Pluton stuff, you know, it could honestly almost be like its own arc if he wanted to make it.
Dude. I mean, even just the fact of like, yo, this is the dude who built the ship for the King of the Damn Pirates.
Yes.
And then you take that and you're like, and this man learned from him, you know, and not to mention the Straw Hat's looking for a shipwright. I'm just saying, like, come on, dude.
Yeah, it's oh, but like, once again, there are many characters I actually hate in One Piece. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so hot in this room, my glasses are fogging up. I'm getting sweaty talking about this. Because, like, there aren't many characters I actually hate in One Piece. And I've talked about, like, we know it's Wapo.
Easy.
Spoiler alert real quick for down the line. Earmuffs if you got to for 5 seconds, because I'm just going to spit the name out. Treble. Like, I literally, like, I've even said in a video, you put me in a room with Osama bin Laden, Hitler, and Treble, and I had a bullet or a gun with two bullets, I'd shoot Treble twice. And Spandam, like I hate Spandam
so much, dude.
Like, is there
so bad?
Is there more of a man in like One Piece that like not only is he like the Morgan of a higher tier part of the world government, but like he sanctioned violence, who's also overusing his power?
Oh yeah, yep. Dude. Overtly abusing the crap out of
him. Yeah, and it's, oh my god, I actually hate him. And it doesn't get any better.
No, it definitely doesn't.
No.
So we kind of glossed over this, and I just want to go back to it before we continue, just because I feel like it's so important, because I definitely did not catch this my first read through. Mm-hmm. We get Lucci's power, you know, his fruit power. But he specifically says, and this is the first time we hear about this, right? He's talking about there's Logia, Zoan, Paramythia. He says, while there are many unique abilities, a characteristic of Zoan types is the ability to strengthen your own physical abilities. The more you train, the more your power is amplified. For aggressive attacks, the Zoan type is the strongest. So what's kind of crazy to think about is knowing future... you know, enemies and the way mm-hmm. that they kind of, you know, go into Zoan later. This makes a lot more sense, because I didn't realize that, Zoan's like, they can just get stronger and train in on a different level than other Devil Fruit users.
I mean, and that makes sense, right? Like, as far as like Luffy goes, say with his, since his is Paramythia, it's one of those to where it's like, you can't necessarily make rubber stronger. Like, you can make Luffy stronger, and we see that in the show, right? But like, himself as rubber can't be any I'm sure there's someone out there is like, actually there's like an alloy rubber. We ain't doing that. What I'm saying is, you just can't make, but like, you know, since my man, what was he, a leopard, a cheetah?
One of those
and like, I mean, if you think about it, like, it's an animal. Like, animals, just like humans, like, if they work out and work on their physicality, they can grow stronger. They can be more, like, fierce, more, you know, sharpen their claws and whatnot. So, like, and they did a really good job, too, of, like, when the first time he, like, switched over or, like, used his power. Like, dude, he was beastly. He was so freaking big compared.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a little foreshadowing for Chopper as well, then?
What? Oh, you mean like him being able to train and get powerful?
Yeah, him
like
being
that?
Able to train and grow stronger, because it's the same.
It literally happens the next arc, so.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
True, but I feel like that's a little different, though. That's like a whole different.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. But like, is that some foreshadowing for Chopper? Like, hey,
it could be.
Like,
I'm telling you, bro. Chapter 2000, everything changes. Okay, it's gonna be crazy.
Can we talk about something that I feel like it was really glossed over, like that I never even thought of? Mm-hmm. There are fairies in this world.
Fairies.
The Clobotomen.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, 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 there yeah.
I guess you got a point. World.
They glossed over that. They're like, yeah, it's a Clobotomen. It's a fairy, and then he just goes into a whole story about it. But like, it's so glossed over. There are fairies in this world. It's not just like.
Well, they do a good job because a lot of times you're going to gloss over that because you're just happy. For one, like it's the humanizing of Frankie in that moment as well, mm-hmm. because like it shows that he cares about something. It's also kind of like bringing Usopp back down from like an emotional wreck. So like that conversation between them's are like, that's already pulling your focus. Him telling that story isn't a big deal. Probably to a lot of people in the moment, because like what a lot of people are going to gloss or glean from that is that they treated the Mary so well. Mm-hmm. And that since the Mary was part of the crew, then that Clobotomen was I probably butchered that name. It was there, right? Like that, you know, the Mary was so taken care of that it finally got its own personality, which, you know, many of us kind of assumed pretty early on anyway, just because we cared about the ship. So
well, that's just crazy to think about that those kinds of things exist in this world. Like, mm-hmm.
What other ones are we going to see? What are their roles?
Yeah,
and that's the whole thing. And that's at the end of the day, like think about like Gold Roger's like ship. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the way it was taken care of with the stories that we've heard about it, it had to have had a Clobotomen at that point, right?
Well, that and everybody. Like, everybody that we've met that's been a part of his crew, right, has been a G. Like, they've been awesome. So it's
also like they always bring up like everybody that has known Roger up or met Roger up until this story has straight up been like, yo, this Luffy kid reminds me a lot about him. You know what I mean? So like, I'm sure there's going to be more and more similarities. And I would not be surprised if that is a like thing. I don't know if we'll ever find out. Like, I don't know if Oda will ever be like, by the way, Oda has a ship fairy, or Oda, Roger had a ship fairy too. I think it would probably be like an SBS. He would like.
Galaxy Brain thought here. Mm-hmm. What if he ties back to Clobotomen later on in the future, and the crew actually talks to the Clobotomen that were on his ship?
Well,
time travel like speaking.
Find like the pieces of the wreck and like the spirits are still there trying to keep the ship together or something.
I don't know if that's a thing because it's hard to talk about that because like Innie's is next. Like,
it's just so interesting that they like during the ship arc, because like that to me that's what this is, right? It's a lot of it is with the ship.
I will say since most people with us right now have already probably watched or read ahead or like the Mary has a definitive finale.
Yeah.
So I would say I don't know if like necessarily like the personality of the spirit or how that necessarily works would move on. You know, because like we've even talked about before, like the Sunny doesn't seem to have as much personality as the Mary. So
we've had this conversation a lot,
but
I'll save that for the spoiler.
Yeah.
Dang it.
And that's fine.
There is a moment where I'm starting to see it now.
Well, the reason I say that, and like my biggest reason for saying that is literally the cause of this arc is that like, the Mary's vulnerability, mm-hmm. like, and
the Sunny never has to deal.
The Sunny never had that, like, and we know, like, this is spoilery territory since the Sunny is not technically a thing yet where we are. But like I said, we got in the cloud. There's literally no way to really talk about that without like discussing the ship itself. but no, like as far as that like goes, it like since it's called was Doro Jackson, I think is what I have written down. If that's not how you pronounce that, let me know in the comments, please. You know, there is now a lineage from people who were Pirate King and got their ship built, people who want to be Pirate King and where they got their ships built. Like there is now like an ancestry.com like link to all these people now, right? So like it's very much as in true One Piece fashion of like the carrying on of certain traditions from person to person, whether or not they're actually related or not, or however Oda's going to eventually tie that all together, because I think we all assume that he's going to tie that all together.
Yeah, like, I'd be shocked if he did.
You know, So it's, yeah, I'm, yes.
True. Can we talk about this panel real quick, though? Like, when they burn the mansion down.
Oh,
like,
I know it's
early I love in, that.
Like, when they're just like, God. No citizen can defy the will of the world government.
God, they draw Lucci to where he's like,
he's evil. He scares me way more in the manga.
It's like he's the devil. Yep. Like they literally draw him the way I would imagine like a human devil would look.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with the goatee and all that stuff. Like,
he's one of the best like design villains, I think, in all of One Piece. Like he is such a good villain. I love it.
Bro, this is like one of those arcs though that was also like storytelling was like so deep and in depth. Like I have like 500 thoughts I want to say, but like I don't know where I want to like start with like each and every one, right? Because you know, that's like when they do take Robin, there's scenes to where it's like, you know, she cuts back to a flashback real quick of like when she told Luffy, like, I wanted to die, you made me live, like now I'm part of your crew, and like you know, she's kind of got like her head in her hands, and like she even like smiles for like a split second of like reminiscing like of the happiness she even had for like that short amount of time, you know, as like the train's like pulling away and like taking her to Innie's. So there's like so many like little moments like that. Yeah, dude, there's like so many small moments like that, and then it like cuts to like Chopper having to pull Zoro out of a chimney.
Bro, like Zoro out of the chimney and Luffy. Like Luffy and Zoro both. Also, yep. Was it just me or did the Aqua Laguna seem way more terrifying in the manga? Like it looked way. Like it was going to eviscerate them.
Yes.
Where I feel like in the anime I wasn't really that nervous. I was like, well, they gotta get Luffy, because if not, he'll drown. Devil Fruit and all that jazz. But like, I mean, Zoro will be fine.
Well, I mean, the manga did like a better job of like making it. I don't know, for some reason in the anime they're like, oh yeah, it happens every year, and like it was a lot of big waves to where it's like, I don't know, in the manga it's like it happens once a year and we have to like prepare, you know, water seal like, our asshole ready, or we're like, gonna die. The manga just did like a way better job of making it seem scarier than the anime did.
It just felt more destructive. I feel like Aqua Laguna felt more destructive in the manga, where in the anime it was kind of like, yeah, there's a big wave, but like this happened, it happens everywhere, so we're already kind of prepared for it. Where it's like,
I think it was just the visuals. I think it was just the way that Oda drew it, because that scene when it cleared out, right, and it was basically barren and the water was gone. It was like, oh shit! Like that's gonna be a big motherfucking tsunami. Holy, you better get the hell out of there.
They also did a good job, I feel like, in the manga too, of like making sure you realize that it's getting worse every year as well. Like I think it was like casually mentioned in the anime, where it was like, yeah, it's getting higher every year, but like in the manga, like it really set the tone of like, damn, we're gonna have to like figure out like why it's getting higher every year and like what we're eventually going to do about it. Cause you know, this city's already built on top of another city. Like we just going to have to build more city on top of this city. We just going to keep doing this until like there's really no answers, or we going to have to take the C train out of here forever. Mm-hmm. You know, it really set the tone of like, this is an ever growing problem, you know, like I think Venice actually has that, since it's made after Venice in Italy. Like, I think they kind of have that problem there too, where it's like the water rises because of climate change, that like they kind of are going to have to figure something out in like the next 20, 30 years, right?
Mm-hmm. So did Kokoro, is it just me, or did Kokoro seem way more like serious and terrified during like the manga, or was that just my interpretation of the art? Because every scene she was in, like I remember she was funny as hell. She was drunk as a motherfucker and did not care during the anime. She was just like, you're all gonna die. But in the manga, like her face looked horrified and less like, I'm drunk. And I didn't know if it was just
she did have like the extremes in the manga compared to the anime, where it was mostly comedy, like comic relief.
Because I wonder if that's what made it feel more catastrophic, maybe, you know, because instead of having you know, drunk granny who's been here for, you know, multiple decades laughing about it, you have like her in what looks like a terrified state.
we've noticed plenty of those like tonal differences in the manga compared to the anime though, right? Like how much more violent the manga can be comparatively as well. So I mean that doesn't surprise me. I wouldn't say I noticed it all that much, but like I can see what you're saying to where like, you know, it's in the manga she kind of had like that more like mom feel as opposed to like crazy drunk granny.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
trying to like, you know, she's like, you know, get your ish in order because like this train's going to go pretty fast. And if it goes off the rails too hard, like we ain't getting it back on there. So let's hope for the best.
Like when they hopped on Rocket Man, I feel like that is when, at least for me in the manga, was when she kicked on. Fuck it. I'm drunk. We going to die. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
At least that's how I don't know. That's how I interpreted it at least.
Oh no. I mean like very much like her warning was like it's going to get us all the way to the scene of the crash, so like let's hope that's actually where it needs to be as opposed to where it might end up. And they once again, like you talk about the Aqua Laguna, like I felt like in the anime, and like I said, it's been so long at this point, I could be forgetting stuff in the anime. It felt like the Aqua Laguna continued to be more of a problem in the manga after they were on Rocket Man, as opposed, because like I know there was like the scene still in the anime where it's like Luffy and Zoro like demolish that wave.
Yeah, they like cut
and
through it.
And like I know that was in the anime as well. Legit, like
no joke. As soon as I finished the arc, I watched that episode.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
The episode where they take off on Rocket Man, and it was jarring going from like Wano's animation to that because the quality. I did not realize how much better the quality of One Piece has gotten. From what it was, but God, it was so good. Like it was the scale of things, the way that everything looked, and like that moment when they blasted through it. And I will say it's funny because every time I go back and watch the anime now, I can definitely see what people mean about pacing. Right? I still don't understand the problem of it. Like for example, in the episode when they go on Rocket Man and they're, you know, the Franky family's firing the cannons and they just can't dent the waterfall. And Zoro and Luffy just do the fucking cannon and blast it out of the way, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, in the manga, that happens and they're done. They made it through. Over, right? In the anime, they do it. Obviously, this is a buildup of power, whatever. But when enter, it, like, is this roller coaster. Like, this first person, all you see is the tracks and the tunnel. And it's, like, 15 seconds of them just going through it. But it was cool. Like, I don't know. It was a cool thing. Like, I can see why, you know, but it was kind of cool moment.
We've talked about before where, like, sometimes the anime, like, additions, like, not just the scene, but, like, what they actually add for the anime specifically. Like, it does add things, right? Like, you know, it's there's a reason why, for me and you especially, like, the anime is our favorite thing. It's fantastic. If you guys haven't seen One Piece, you really should.
Yeah.
If you're this far in the podcast and you haven't seen One Piece, there's probably an issue.
Dude, you would be surprised how many people, like, I've talked to, like, you know, just from doing One Piece stuff and, like, doing this, where it's like, they're caught up with the manga and have never watched an episode.
That's crazy.
Of the anime.
Like, I understand.
They exist.
I understand preferring the manga, and especially, like I said, like, when I'm caught up, I'm reading ahead. I'm not waiting. Yeah. It's happening. But I could not imagine not watching the series two. I know that's weird because I feel like probably most people don't do both. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I just can't imagine. Like, it is obviously different. But God, if at least watch One Piece. Do something. Like, you know, please. It's worth it. Seriously. And if you're just an anime
walks,
only, read
the
manga.
Music.
It is also an experience.
The walk to Arlong Park, if you haven't seen that.
You're disgusting. Mm-hmm. Fake fan. Fake fan. If you have not watched the walk
I don't
to
like
Arlong
who you
Park,
are as a human.
Yeah.
Like, that is honestly, that
me
the,
and you can't
the manga
friends.
Does great, but the anime just does it so much more justice for that scene.
Yeah.
I think it's those intense moments being able to have the music, right?
Like, it's the music,
I
mean,
it's the music, and it's a little bit of a build-up. It's not,
at this point.
That was a cool moment, turn page, and we're on to the next moment, right?
Like, we were watching Dragon Ball Z Abridged, and remember at the end of the episode, they started playing the One Piece music and we flipped out.
Yes.
It's because like it was like the iconic One Piece.
So,
we're like, oh
just,
my
it,
god.
It floods you with emotion. Like Mother C. almost gets me to tear up just from the song alone. Oh, like, yeah. You put that song on, I'm already like, stop, something bad's gonna happen. You're gonna make me cry.
At this point, with how good the writing is, mm-hmm. and like the when you start hearing the music, you're already manipulated.
Yep.
Because like you know, like oh damn,
my it is a mental manipulation. Oda yeah, is abusing us. Toei, you are abusing us. This is assault.
It's a toxic relationship, but I'm here till the end. So so since we are on Rocket Man and mm-hmm. we are getting like towards the end of the arc, we're talking about like a lot of understated and glossed over things. I feel like that seemed to be ignored. And my favorite was when it was after he became Soge King, right? Or Sniper King. One thing I love is that you actually see the mask in the suitcase like pages before he ever throws it on. So like when he does run away, he runs back to that and grabs the mask out of the suitcase. What? Yeah, it's just sitting there in a suitcase.
Did you catch that, Coyote?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's
that's
literally
awesome.
That.
So, dude.
Yeah, my man went back to rummage for shit and he found the mask.
That's amazing.
But what I love is like I feel like in the manga more than the anime, there is actually like this transition from who Usopp was to who Usopp becomes.
Yeah,
and he literally goes from like this engineer carpenter man. To finally being the ship sniper.
Yep.
And putting on that mask, becoming Sniper King is that full transition. And I think it's even punctuated. And I don't remember if that part is in the anime at all, because it feels small, but it also feels huge when you really think about it in retrospect. Mm-hmm. There's a scene where Usopp is hammering something and Franky's beside of him. And Franky's like, you're kind of dog shit at that. Let me do it.
Yeah.
And he hands like the hammer and stuff over to Franky to start building or fixing whatever it is. And so it's like literally like a full transition of his character.
And then he's going like, shit, from, I need to get a mask.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, something's wrong here.
There's like this whole thing of like, yeah, he transitions from being like this carpenter engineer guy, not really having a role, to being the sniper. And then like literally passes the proverbial hammer torch to Franky to be the engineer. Brooklyn. And like, it
can
doesn't
just,
seem like a big deal.
The podcast. Can we just change the podcast where like every week we talk about the arc, but it's also like all bets are off. Spoilers will happen all the time. And we're
yeah,
gonna talk
it's,
about
it's,
it.
It's,
let us know in the comments. Seriously.
It's so,
vote.
Well, that's the thing. It's,
do you care if we do that? Cause we will go yeah, in because
it's
God
so tough,
is becoming harder. God,
it's becoming difficult because like we have to literally stop a conversation to like save it for like the spoiler thing,
and then we forget what we were discussing.
Yeah, which that's my bad. If you're spoiled on like Franky at this point, then like I don't know if we ever meet at a con, I'll let you hit H, man. but you gotta let him know ahead
trade.
Of time, though.
Yeah, you gotta let him know ahead of time.
You gotta be like, this is from Boom.
I hope that happens one day.
I don't. Do not hit H-Man. Do not hit H-Man. Let me reiterate. Do not hit H-Man.
You said it into the universe now.
Yeah.
And now it's going to happen. Just you wait.
Boom sent me your way. Yeah.
He's going to like wake up with like a Soge King, bloody Soge King mask in his bed.
Yo, Chopper is so gullible in this arc. Yeah,
yes.
My God, dude. Oh my
I love
God.
It. Well, I mean, Luffy is too.
He's not much like,
true. I mean, true.
That's kind of funny, don't you think? Like, it's kind of funny the dynamic, right? Because we forgot to bring it up. Sanji being the absolute Chad that he is.
Yes.
Being the undercover man of the crew yet again. Every goddamn arc, this man is going off and somehow managing to literally save them in some fashion.
Yep. How funny. Constantly undercover.
Nami's motivation. Nami
man
was
of mystery.
So determined. I think that is more. We have seen more determination with Nami in that moment when she was trying to get to Robin than probably any other moment at this time. Like, that was like, yo, they are stealing my fucking sister. Mm-hmm. And like, God, the amount of bonding that I feel like happens in this arc is some of the best for the crew. As weird as it is, because it's the closest to the crew has come to breaking up. But I feel like that's what kind of made them stronger almost, you know?
Well, yeah, it makes you realize how much you care, and it's it's when Usopp even finally, I'm pretty sure this is in Water 7 and not Innie's, but like when Usopp finally gets to like Robin's train car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it is
in Water 7. And he's like, trust Luffy. Like, you know, like he just had this monstrous falling out with Luffy, right? Like he's no longer part of the crew technically or anything like that. And like his main thing he says to her is trust him. So like, I remember like when I was watching that in the anime, I was like, oh my, like I was barely holding my shit together at that point. So he even goes to show like how much he still misses the crew, how much he wants to be part of the crew. Also, I hate wands. I want to throw that out there.
Bro, one of the worst enemies in the damn anime. He up there with Wapple, I think. He sucks, dude.
I think wands feels like that character where the editor probably went to Oda and he was like, I don't want you to, but I'll let you, but I don't want you to. And Oda was like, nah, it's going to be fine, dude. And it just, I think wands is also used perfect. To like, It's used to reiterate the whole like Sanji being like, I use knives for food, not for violence.
Yeah.
And since my man became a giant nose ramen man, you know, he chopped him down back to being just a normal guy. I also love that he had the ability to rearrange his face. Like, you know, that always comes into play to make that guy
shadow anything
at all. But I do appreciate though that moment. Where like the guy was upset that he was no longer ugly.
I know.
Like I love that writing where he was like, my uniqueness is gone.
You know
what I mean?
You got to give Wands that at least. Like, yeah. You know, he knows who he is and he knows what he wants.
Yeah, like he looks like an absolute squeeze tube of toothpaste, but like that's my man's style and that's what he wants. Like I respect that. But it's so much happens on that train in a short amount of time. I also thought like the way it was going to be that I thought T-Bone when they first showed him. Mm-hmm. Was going to be like the antithesis of Zoro for this arc. Like he was just going to stand in Zoro's way, and like it was going to be a fight, and T-Bone's it was going to be awesome. Real. And that man just got collapsed,
T-Bone
bro. It wasn't
also
even like
scarier in the manga because he was in that episode I watched. He still is creepy in the anime,
yeah,
but
creepy.
He is terrifying in the manga.
Yeah, it's.
Have you noticed the power increase as well? Like Zoro, Luffy, and Sanji are all just absolutely flexing their power this arc, where I feel like they have kind of gotten their asses handed to them the past like two. You know what I mean? Like Zoro barely beat Das Bones. You know what I mean? Sanji barely beat Bon Clay. Luffy barely beat Crocodile. And then you go to Skypiea, the same thing. Sanji got his ass beat. Zoro got his ass beat. Luffy would have gotten his ass beat if it wasn't for the rubber, you know? So like, but like they came here and it's like, you could see how much they've learned and how much stronger they are, right? Like these top people, because we got to remember that wands and like, even the people leading up to it, those are so strong. They're not CP9, but they're still like world government soldiers that are, you know, clearly, know, they're not to be pushed around. Like they're not pushovers. And Sanji didn't give up. Fuck, bro.
No, it's. I want to say so many things about
Sanji.
Yeah, it's just like so much of who he is now made sense with where I'm at, and like, it's hard not to bring it up. But yeah, like I mean, because you know he did the same thing. Alabasta. Like you know he just disappears, right?
Mr.
And
Prince.
Then like, and. When you least expect it, all of a sudden this man's just lurking in the shadows, like getting all the information and doing what he needs to do, and like filling everybody else in on it.
Too. He snuck into Enel's ship and like fucking dismantled the hell he did. Sanji's always being the sneak. He's just like the intel man.
I appreciate that the octopus shoes from Usopp also came back into play.
Yep.
He brought them back onto the train and he tried to give them to Robin and she was just like,
get the fuck. Bro, when they hopped in the same coat. Like when they hopped in the coat and it was Usopp's arms. And hello, sir.
I will say like post time scale, like I miss a lot, like maybe that's there in the manga, that's not really there in the anime now, but like a lot of the humor like that just does not really show up all that much anymore.
It's gotten way more serious.
Yeah.
And like the base like, of the story, it makes sense touches. Why, but yeah, it's definitely right. gotten way more serious.
Oh man.
And it, you're right, though.
Well, there was a level of innocence, you know. There was a level of innocence or what's the word? Ignorance.
Well, the right? stakes weren't as high, right? Yeah. Like it wasn't.
Well, it's ignorance,
you know.
Right? They like Zorro was humbled early on, right? But the rest of them really weren't. You know, they got their ass beat every now and again. But I feel like, you know, the later arcs as the series progresses, like as you know, the Straw Hats go up against, you know, more and more warlords. I think that's safe to say that's not a spoiler. I mean, he's already fought, you know, one. You know, they start to, I think, realize, like, oh, shit, this is serious, you know? Like, this is a serious situation, right? I mean, even the bounties, I mean, Luffy's bounty's up to 100 million, which is higher than the last warlord they fought. You know what I mean? Like, y'all ain't nothing to fuck with at this point. Like, this is going to get real. It's going to get serious. Mm-hmm. And they kind of don't realize that. And I feel like going up against CP9 was and Usopp trying to leave the crew and, you know, the falling out with Robin and literally going into the world government stronghold. I feel like that was kind of the moment they were like, oh shit. You know, maybe this pirate shit's kind of real. You know?
Yeah. And I think like these two last arcs, well, Skypiea and Water 7 have done like that really good job of like the continued ramping up of power, right? Like, It's Crocodile was able to be defeated by like Luffy's current power state. It's just that he needed water. Yeah. Like, you know, he just needed water to help him out.
He
because
needed a way to hit a Logia.
Yeah, he needed a way to like knock out a Crocodile. And like as you go along. Yeah. You know, it's well, I mean, even with a nail, he needed like he needed gold in a bell.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that we are having like this huge ramp up in power scaling. And as we like see later, it just, you know, gets more and more serious because I mean, Lucci like tossed him, bro. Like he did his own gum bazooka against Luffy. And like, you know, that's kind of the first time that's happened to him. Right. Like
I mean, Zoro got yeeted too, right? Like they both did and they went far. Like, I mean, it was not a short throw. I think that Zoro literally got thrown into the fucking ocean.
Yeah.
Which and I guess we didn't think about that. Zoro straight up got thrown into the ocean during an Aqua Laguna.
Yeah.
He is a beast.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't land in the chimney. Motherfucker fell in because he was wet from the ocean.
He probably thought it was the correct way and walked in there. So, like, you know, we'll just pretend like he fell.
Is this the first time the Straw Hats have collabed with anyone else to bring someone down?
If you don't count,
I mean, because
like they collabed with Gally Law on the train, like they allianced with them, right?
Oh, and Frankie's family as well, right?
Yeah. Like but I'm trying to think, like any of the arcs that we've done so far, have they allianced with anyone else like that? Besides Vivi,
yes
really?
And no. Like they've so they've obviously Vivi, but.
Like
you know,
an actual
they
organization,
fought
alongside not like a person.
Like some of the Skypiean people, you know, but not really.
That was more like the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Of like an actual like squad up. All right, let's do this. No,
and they and according to Wiper, they definitely weren't friends either. So
no,
it's
they
like
were, they, yeah. So
yeah,
that's interesting. So this is the first arc where we have some kind of
I mean, other than the direct Straw Hats, and I can't think of any.
I'm like like singular people just kind of like.
Yeah, helping out, but like an actual like group of people that were, you know, part of another crew or anything like this. Like between Gally Law and the Frankie family, I mean, though that's wild to think about.
The Baratier cooks, they were more observers.
They were just there for Sanji more than anything. But again, I feel like it was just again, like you said, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? They were just there. So yeah, I do think this is the first time that Luffy and the Straw Hats kind of rally. You know, a bunch of people, essentially.
Yeah. Interesting.
Which, I mean, to be fair, like, I guess if you wanted to play contrarian, which I agree, I actually agree with you, but, like, they could say that they were there strictly just for Frankie, right? Because yeah, like true. Since Frankie was taken, like they're going to try to get Frankie back, and Polly just wants some revenge because he got screwed up.
Well, no, because Tilestone was there too.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah,
Tilestone, Polly.
Yeah, that's wild. Wow. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so that is the first time we've actually seen them like collabing with an actual other groups then and alliancing with them rather than just
serious, right? Like, yo, you're breaking into the government stronghold. Like, you need as much power as you can get right now. You know, this is not. The seriousness of it, I think, is what is kind of crazy because it is, I think, the most serious moment we've gotten to up until this point. Like, Skypiea, yes, they went up the thing, but that was like an instantaneous, like, oh my God, we're here. How do we get down? Mm-hmm. Where this is like, yo, we're going into the fucking lion's den, especially knowing like, what we saw in Long Ring, Long Land with Aokiji, you know?
Yep.
Or Aokiji, I mean, that's whatever. Well, it's the realization. I think too, it's like one of the first signs of like Luffy maturing.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like wanting to necessarily like fight on his own or anything like that, he's just like, all right, everybody get on the train, whoever's like helping, just get on the fucking train, let's get out of here. Yep.
Let's go.
I also do just want to add the little, I forget what they're called, the little side stories, like seeing the Barrow Baroque works and getting to see Dory and Bragi again still fighting at it. I am still so mad. Like, that is the biggest thing that I think I have taken away from this. Like, yes, if you are an anime-only fan, you should read the manga. I think it's a fun experience, especially if you really like One Piece. It's so fucking good, and it's so different but similar, and you notice so many things, especially if you're farther in the series. But the fact that they stopped animating these cover stories, that's what they're called, God damn, man, I am so upset that I have not been, like, following these as I've made my way through. Like, I feel like I've just missed so many small details, and like, as small as they are, it's just knowing like, oh, those Baroque Works people are still out there and they're traveling, and oh, what happened to Django, and I'm so curious some of the other ones we're gonna see. Like, I wonder if we're gonna get like some iceberg cover stories like in the future, where like, you know, in the next arc or the next two arcs we get to see like what iceberg's been up to or something. And I don't know. That's just really.
I mean, you just realize like it's a missed opportunity, if nothing else, for filler. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Take
the cover stories, put them into an episode.
That's what I don't understand. Like, where they actually make filler episodes, but then they take like something that's actually a part of the story and the manga, and that could literally just be like backfilling to like when they actually needed filler, and use those. Like, it's. I don't understand it.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me either. I'm trying to think of, oh yeah. And then we also learn more about the door fruit. Mans can open a door to enter an alternate dimension. Like, holy crap, dude.
I think is still probably like one of the most understated strong fruits that exist. That probably, if someone was a little smarter or a little more powerful than him, which is weird to say,
you could rob and assassinate anyone. Without anyone knowing, like, how are they going to prove it? They have no entry.
Yeah.
Like, that is just wild to think, like, how
he's the perfect assassin for the government. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And with them knowing the finger pistol thing, I mean, they're the perfect assassins.
Yep.
And nobody can stand up to the world government. Wouldn't be hard to cover it up.
That's why it's like, I don't know. I guess it's a good idea that they already have that man on their side, because dear God, if he actually was acting on his own and like he had those tools, bro, like, he could become a warlord.
I agree.
Easily.
Yeah.
It's weird, 'cause you don't think much about like all the door fruit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, like, bro, like, if you're like, imagine he was a pirate and like, you know, had his own crew or anything like that. Like, he'd be like, yo, I'm going downstairs for a minute, and just like open a door to like the pirate ship next to him and just obliterate it from the inside, walk up back out the door onto his ship and just be like, all right, I'm gonna get all your shit when it floats to the top. Peace. Like dude, it's one of those really things. Like, yo, that man could destroy the world. But you know, he can't talk about that yet.
Hey, I mean, we never know. Maybe there's a cover story about Bluno taking over the world. You don't
if Bluno could open a door to the void, Mance could literally just start opening a door and just pulling people in and just dropping them into an endless pit.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much.
And there's just no way for them to get out, because like the second the door closes, that's it. Goes your escape. Like that is mental to think how strong that ability is and how understated they use it in this arc.
It's basically a more overpowered version of another fruit that we see later.
And we see it this early in the arc. That's what's crazy is we're seeing it this early in the story compared to the one we see later. That's like, I can see that one kind of being somewhat powerful,
right?
But it does have a requirement. It has a prerequisite for that one to.
Yeah,
function.
This one he's just open the air.
Just open the door.
It's paired with like Lucci's like zone fruit being like man's being like, yeah, you can just make this like way more powerful if you get stronger yourself. Yeah,
true. If they actually fought together.
Oh man.
Yeah.
They would be insane. Like Lucci and Bluno fighting together and using their powers in smart ways would be broken. Like,
I think that's so like one of the upsides, I guess, of like going against CP9 is that it really does seem like they don't like each other at all. Like they're not like at all like interested in helping one another.
Lucci's a dickhead.
Outside of actually just accomplishing whatever their mission is.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, he could turn people into doors, which then can screw up their whole fighting force. Like that is mental. If they comboed together, how broken that would be. Now that I'm thinking about that.
The Straw Hats would be fucked.
They would literally. There would be no more One Piece. Okay, that would be the end of it. It would be
Bluno is the One Piece. Yeah, Bluno is the One Piece. We've decided.
That's the statement. Bluno's the One Piece. And if you're gonna stick around, we're going into spoiler territory. So if you're not up to Whole Cake Island, you might want to run away with your tail between your legs and catch up to the damn anime or the manga. Take your pick. We're gonna get into spoiler discussion. Now, if you're not going to be getting into spoiler discussion, definitely come swing by. We're going to be doing Annie's lobby next, obviously. And we're going to have a special guest that I think you're going to like. I'm going to leave it a secret if I haven't already announced it in a previous episode. Maybe I have. Maybe I haven't. I don't know. But for now, it's a secret. And if you want the full thing, Spotify.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's time for spoilers. Boom, go. I know you've been holding it a lot.
I didn't want to like spoil the Franky stuff. So like, first off, Bluno turns Luffy into a door ninnies that we already know that happens. So
yeah,
Sione just, you know,
casually throws that spoiler. In the
yeah, like the whole time I was like, do I say anything?
I'm telling you, bro, this fucking story, I hate it. I just want to talk.
Yeah, bro.
Maybe it's one of those things where if we have a guest, maybe it's like more structured. But like, well, let's just talk about whatever the hell we want.
Yeah,
again, let us know in the comments what you want.
He said, yeah, if he can turn someone into a door, and I think my eyes got real big on camera. and so, like, yeah, so that happened. But no, like, so, like, that Franky stuff, I was like, damn, when you really go, like, I love that about the manga, is, like, when you go back and look at that stuff in retrospect, now that we, like, know what happens and stuff like, that was literally a scene where, like, Usopp was handing off the job to Franky of, like, you're the engineer now. I don't have to do this shit anymore.
I mean, dude, you caught some like random small details that I did not, and
it
makes me want to go back and like check it out.
Like, it's literally like an itty bitty panel where like Frankie's like, "Yo, you fucking suck at this," and like just hands and Usopp's like, "Yeah," and just like hands him the shit to do it himself. And so like, yeah, I mean, like that was I thought that was like a really cool moment, but I guess we can go ahead and talk about like the parallels of like Luffy v Usopp and now Sanji v Luffy.
Dude, the drastic differences between them two, when Luffy goes up against somebody that can go toe to toe with him, you know, to an extent, where Usopp was very different, right? Because like Luffy kind of like refused to fight back with Sanji, where with Usopp, Luffy was like, "I'm gonna beat your fucking ass."
So somebody, I felt like somebody kind of made a good point, and I'm gonna steal it and pretend like I'm the smart one that said it.
Okay.
Where if Luffy wouldn't have fought Usopp, it would have been patronizing to Usopp, because Usopp was already in a spot where he felt weak and he already felt like he wasn't a part of the crew. So if Luffy wouldn't have fought him, that would have just told Usopp even more that you can't hang with me, so I'm not even going to hit you. Mm-hmm. Instead, Luffy was like, "All right, bitch, you want to catch some hands? You're going to catch some hands. Like, you want, you know, you want to fight a grown man? You're going to get hit like a grown man." Mm-hmm. And so I think with Sanji, it was, you know, the opposite, right? Like I'm not here to force you back. I'm here to, like, you know, you're a crewmate, you're a brother, like you family. Like,
yeah, we want you back.
Like, we are your family. Like we need you. Like, these people are, like, obviously using you. They've said as much. I mean, I haven't got past that episode yet, but I'm very much of course assuming, like, I mean, it ends like Sanji is sitting there crying, like, in the carriage, right? Like, he is upset. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, of course it's all a ploy to, mm-hmm, like, you know, be in front of his parent or in front of his dad, in front of his brothers. That way they don't go after Luffy and the crew as well, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm.
So do you like
I'm
that
sure
flashback?
I'll get more context as we say what?
You like that flashback?
Which one? Wait, which one?
Mr. Prince.
Yes,
that early, and he even mentions it, dude. It's, like, he mentions, like, his so he mentions his shitty family and shit at different times, and, like, things he doesn't want to talk about, bro.
Well, it's like the North Blue stuff as well. Yep. Like, it's just
Mr. Prince,
dude. I mean that, and it's like the whole time you're wondering, it's like, how, for a cook, how is he able to just, like, disappear and not be noticed by people? And then you find out that he was raised by a family of fucking assassins, and you're like, yeah, that literally makes all the sense ever. Yeah. Like,
yep.
Like, of course he's able to sneak around and do all this extra stuff that, like, no one really understands how. And, like, I love too, like, I think it's towards the end of Zoe where he was like, where they do take him back for the tea party or whatever. And he was like, and he's like, I never lie to you. Like, and I never, you know, and I never really meant to lie to you if it seemed that way, because, like, you know, even his dad was like, never tell anybody I'm your family.
Yeah.
And he was,
it's
like,
probably just something he just never wanted to talk about. Right. It's like, in your mind, you'd be like, well, I don't see why this matters.
Him,
who my
him
parents
and
are,
vice versa, they're dead to each other. Yeah. Like, you know, so, like, I'm never going back to them. They're never going to come find me. I don't have to worry about this story anymore. I can make my own story now. Like, and that's going to be my life. That's going to be, like, what I talk about. So, that, you know, it's yeah, a little bit.
Uh-huh. Who do you hate? But who do you hate most? Out of all the brothers.
Oh, out of all the brothers.
Bro, I think it was number two that threw the plate at the chef.
Oh yeah. The blue guy. Like, I don't even remember her name.
Blue guy sucks. Green guy is also an asshole. Like, the red guy is obviously, like, he's, you know, since he's number one or whatever, he's like the oldest brother. Like, I don't know. Like, you expect him to be a dick, obviously, because, like, he's like the leader of the other two, but, like, the other two are the ones that, like, revel in it the most.
Yeah, I hate
because
the
since they're like two and four, like, they just, like, sandwich Sanji, and it's like, fuck both you guys. Like,
I gotta ask. Is the whole color scheme and all of that Oda's little play on Power Rangers?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no way it was.
I assumed it was.
Like, the whole time I'm like,
it had to have been. I'd be shocked.
It feels like
I'm
looking at Power Rangers right now.
But I think it's safe to assume. Yeah.
I think, like, literally out of that whole family, like, the only person that could possibly be redeemed, and I mean, it's One Piece, so, like, who knows? They all might be. But, like, is was it Raiji?
Raiju?
The sister.
Oh, Raiju. Yeah.
Raiju. I feel like she's, like, the only one. Like, even though she kind of allowed it to happen, it's also, like, one of those things. It's like self-preservation, because it's either my ass getting kicked or your ass getting kicked. And, you know, you can't blame a kid for not wanting to get their ass kicked.
Yeah, pretty much. You're not wrong, especially with how young.
Yeah, it'd be easy to say, and, like, in the moment, it's easy to get upset about it, because it's just like, well, that's bullshit. Like, you're the older sibling. You're supposed to be taking care of them. But it's also like, you're still a kid, man. Like, when you're scared, like, you're not probably going to make the best decisions, right?
Hell no.
Yeah, it's bro, it adds so much more context to his character, especially like this was the perfect arc to show because like he snuck back on the train.
I've been feeling it so much. I'm so happy you're actually like there now.
Yeah, it's one of those to where it's like now, like, and One Piece does that like fantastic job of like once you do reach that point, like it's like an immediate like rewind flashback to like all the other times when it was hinted at and like you didn't necessarily know why or how or anything like that. It just fills in all those holes, right?
Well, it's like the Mr. Prince stuff, right? Like none of us in a million years, there's no way any of us thought anything about that. You know what I mean?
No.
Like it just, oh, all right. Mm-hmm. A little nickname. Cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like suit and tie ladies, man. Like,
yeah,
you know,
of course he would want to be Prince. A prince.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Right. So it's, bro, oh God, I but the thing is, though, it's like you have to wait so long for that payoff. And like that, what if I would have got to those episodes like 3 weeks from now as opposed to like when I did?
I mean, dude, imagine if you would have had this context during Baratie.
Like, yeah.
Reading Baratie was when I was in, when I was there, you know, and I was like going through a lot of the other stuff that I'm not even sure if you've seen yet. And it's like, it's so weird how I almost feel like every One Piece fan will have a different experience than another based on just the fact of when they started watching, what was happening at the time.
Yep.
And like, if they went back and rewatched or read or reread, you have a different outlook. Like there's already from where I am at currently, like approaching on episode 1000, I already want to go back and check out a few of the arcs that we've done
right
not even that long ago, because I know that there's going to be like context there and I want to see what I catch. But it's also that weird thing of like, well, all right, well, I can't just reread the goddamn thing every month, so like I'm gonna have to make a decision. You know what I mean? What is the arc to do that? Like, do I wait a couple years? I don't know.
I've been told that like Skypiea is especially one where you'll like once you're caught up, like you're going to want to go back through and check it out. But like I love like just sticking with Whole Cake since we're talking about that for a second, like with the Zeff flashbacks and all that, like, you know, it was literally coming off where like Sanji's dad was like actual biological father was like, yeah, never tell people I'm your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then like it was like he was doing something with Zeff and Zeff was like, yeah, I'll get in trouble if you do that. And Sanji was like, why would that be the case? He was like, because that's a parent's burden for their child or something like that. And it's like, bro, this fucking pirate that like beat the shit out of this kid, then saved him, then ate his own foot to like make sure that kid had all the food, is referring to himself as this kid's parent when like his rich ass dad, just because like he didn't want to like be an assassin
superpowers. What the fuck is this shit?
I thought that was like an interesting thing too, where like his body didn't like accept the like whatever it was,
but
right?
But
like
we still know how genome. Fucking strong he's become.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like that does make sense. But I wouldn't be shocked if it was like one of those where it's like Sanji's been awakened kind of shit, right? Where it's like it was it didn't disappear, it just became dormant until like, you know, my man just turned it on. But dude, it is insane. Like, no, but like I was trying not to like really spoil it, like when you were talking about the Clobberman stuff and you were like, you know, is the personality still there? And I'm like, well, they burned it down, so I'm assuming like not like with them burning the Mary, like I would imagine in my head at least.
Oro Jackson.
Oh, that
I was talking about like the Oro Jackson's like let's say it's shipwrecked somewhere, right? Because like, you know, obviously
sure,
it's
okay,
gone.
Okay.
Like I was more referring to the.
I thought you were talking about the Mary. That's my bad.
No. Well, I mean, I think I was using the Mary in reference, but like I was talking about using the club bottle, like having the crew
meet
the Oro Jackson shipwreck. And they actually talk with the Clobberman on the ship because the Clobberman loved the ship so much that it's still there trying to take care of it.
You do have me wondering now, like if that's going to be a one-off.
Because they hinted at it, and it's one of those things where it's something that I find very interesting because it creates a whole nother depth to this world.
Well,
it's fairies now.
It's like, yo, we got fairies and spirits and shit.
Yeah. Well, we know the hat's passed down. From him now, like why not ship fairies? Like it seems like everything else is secondhand. Like you might as well have used his ship fairy as well, right? So it's
y'all hurry up.
I'm trying
to watch more. God damn it.
Hey, you know what? It's already been hard enough to keep quiet during this, okay? Because I don't want to actually spoil Boom. I don't know where he is right.
We were all caught up to the same.
I'm just saying, man. I can't lie. Bleach is in like a really good spot, too. So it's like, fair. I'm like really addicted. Like, I literally just got past the Kenny Ichigo fight. So, like, that first one where, like, he caught on Zangetsu, I was like, yo, this shit is fire.
Yeah, and Bleach is really good. So I can. That's a reasonable, you know, reason. I'm just saying, Boom, I'm losing my fucking mind over
here. Bro, I'm trying. Nah, it's so, like, I would be further, but, like, yeah, like, so, like, that Friday where I was, like, supposed to binge, I was going to, like, watch, like, 6 to 8 episodes or whatever, and it's, like, I was at a car lot all day. And then, like, Monday, I was, like, when I was supposed to watch more, I was, like, at a car lot all day, like, doing the finishing up the paperwork. Apparently, being an adult is a very difficult thing.
Yes.
Like, stay a child as long as you can.
Yep.
And so, like, literally, like, that night I came home, and luckily it was, like, episodes, I think, 807 and 808, which is the Sanji Luffy stuff. And, like, so I was, dude, I was exhausted. I was, like, already, like,
oh, you woke up.
Yeah, and it's, like, bro, like, my body was not ready for, like, what those episodes entailed. And, like I think I was just, like, literally sitting here watching with, like, tears streaming down my face. I wasn't even saying shit. Like, I was just, like, sitting there crying.
Bro, it's hard to watch. You know, it's like, tough. That moment is just hard to watch.
Well, I didn't realize too, like, there was, like, a lot of, like, commercial break stuff in it.
Yeah, apparently it was, like, I got really mad about that, and then people got mad at me for getting mad. Mm-hmm. It happened during the Olympics, and it was a double episode.
Yeah, that's what people were telling me. What
my argument for that was, because people were like, it was a double episode, of course there was more.
I was still like, well, why wouldn't there be?
I was like, yeah. I was like, bro, I'm like,
then there would be 2 instead of 6.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, there's only 1 per 30-minute episode. They shoved 6 into that motherfucker. What do you mean, hour-long special?
Like, were they cutting to, like, someone skiing down a fucking mountain? Like,
I guess so.
Yeah. My problem was, like, at this point, I was like, okay, is this going to be, like, a new One Piece thing to where it's, like, this is just going to be their scene transition now? Where they're going to go from, like, okay, well, we're here, and now we're going to be over here, and they're going to throw that up as, like,
yeah.
A way to, like, just move the show along, right? Yeah. I'm like, well, that's going to be fucking annoying. And, like, no, like, then somebody was telling me. Because, like, you know, at first I was just like, oh, okay. Like, after, like, the first 2, I was like, all right, maybe they just needed to pad out 30 seconds. And, like, whatever, shit happens, right? But then, like, by, like, the second episode, like, yeah, they had done, like, 5, 6, 7 of them. I was like, okay, this is just fucking weird now. Like, what is the deal? But you know, we don't see, that's when you know the reactions are real because when we're getting upset that we don't get to watch more One Piece.
Yep.
Yo, spam is calling me. I keep yelling at them to stop. Fucking stop calling me. God damn it. Eventually it's going to work. I've yelled at them like 3 times today alone, and they keep calling. So at this point, I'm just going to start making random One Piece laugh.
You know the next level play right there? Do you have your voicemail set up on your phone?
Yeah.
Turn it off.
That's smart.
If the system sees that it's not going to voicemail, they'll pull your number off the list.
Like a dead number?
It looks like a dead number on their side. So turn off your voicemail for like a couple days, and the system will start seeing that it's a dead number.
See, and you guys thought we were just here to talk about manga and One Piece anime. Now you just straight up learning stuff. We're just going to circle back to a regular podcast.
I just got
to
do it. Hey, Luffy, I'm not on the phone right now. Meet me at the pirate ship. Bring Ace. Tell him to bring the donuts. You know what I mean? Like,
that's sad.
Like, do you think that would deter them? I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, well, they're so a One Piece fan. They'd leave crying.
True.
Oh my god.
Make your voicemail as a One Piece spoiler. Gotcha, bitch. Hope you weren't watching.
Well, just take whatever the most popular show is, and it's just like your voicemail is literally nothing but Game of Thrones spoilers or something.
Yeah, exactly. Telemarketers deserve it. This is the one kind of people that deserve spoilers. Let's just be honest.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of any other Water 7 related things. There's a lot of stuff I want to talk about that I can't.
Right.
But I'm trying to think. like, there's Enies Lobby, but like, I don't want to talk about Enies Lobby because we're going to be talking about Enies Lobby next.
Yeah, episode. I mean, that's literally in like 5 days when we record
all
that.
I say is, y'all said donuts.
Donuts. What's your thoughts when I say donuts, Boom?
What are my thoughts when you say donuts? I think the obvious thing is
okay. Is it the obvious thing?
Yes. Okay. Is it not? Like, is it?
Good to know.
May he rest in peace.
You'll know.
Donuts.
Or is there a new donuts meme that I need to know about? Like, I was like, somebody else getting turned into one?
No.
It's like, does this man not stop?
He's like, this motherfucker just told me somebody's gonna die.
Yeah. I was like, this dude's gonna kill Ace, he ends Aikiji's career, and now he's like, now he's
we're
just
gonna
still
find out that Luffy had a stepbrother and you know, Akainu's gonna come back to finish the job yet again.
Yep.
Oh my god, bro.
Can you imagine?
Like, Sabo, what the f-
Yep.
God damn it. Meet me at Wano. Fuck. That's all I got.
Hey, man, I'll see you at the dock. I'm on my way.
Yeah. I guess we'll see you next episode for Enies Lobby. Like I said, we're going to have a guest. I think you're going to be happy with the guest. And just it's going to be a grand old time. But seriously, be vocal in the comments. Let us know. Do you just want to see the podcast kind of become a more laid back, talk about whatever we want type dealio? Or do you like the structured spoiler section? And non-spoiler section. I feel like it's safe to assume that most people watching are either caught up or ahead of us. But I know that not everybody will be. So that's it's weird.
You might want to put this part at the beginning of the show because this would only be on Spotify.
True. Very true. Yes. You got a good point there, sir. We'll see you in Enies Lobby for the first half. I don't know what those chapters will be, but it's divide the chapters in half.
We'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for watching. Catch you later.
Bye.
Get it early on patreon.com/9newanime.
Yes.
Because Long Ring Long Land just went out on YouTube for perspective. So if you're hearing this, then you are like multiple episodes behind. Come meet us in like Time Skip or something. I don't know. Bye.
Bye.